So you're a tough guy, like you really rough guy. Just can't get enough guy, just always so puff guy. I'm that bad type, make your mama sad type. Make your girlfriend mad type, might seduce your dad type. I'm the bad guy.
Duh.
Chapter 18. Damien was skeptical about this sudden truce his brothers had with Todd. He understood the Lazarus pits and the effects they had on people, but that was not enough to clear Todd of guilt in Damien's mind. Yes, the Lazarus pit had made him unstable, but his mother had focused Todd's instability onto Drake fairly easily, which meant the negative feelings must have been there naturally. He did not believe his mother had intended Todd to kill his father too, but, well, Todd was difficult and couldn't be trusted to follow plans. He wouldn't be surprised if Todd still wanted them dead, pit influence or not. It was not logical to suddenly trust him now, but no matter how many times he tried to reason with Grayson, he just wouldn't hear it. Drake could usually be counted on to be the more reasonable one with things like this, but Drake had formed some strange sort of attachment to Todd, and when Damien brought it up, he'd been irrational and standoffish. He was concerned Drake was suffering from some variation of Harley Quinn's psychosis. There was absolutely no reasoning behind this attachment to someone who'd tried to kill him multiple times. And for whatever reason, Damien seemed to be the only one that remembered Todd had tried to kill all of them at least once. Damien considered going to Oracle, Black Bat, and Batgirl, but he wasn't sure whether or not they'd be any more reasonable than Grayson and Drake. Not for the first time, Damien found himself questioning his father's judgment regarding the people he brought into their family. In any case, Damien had made a deal with Grayson, and there was nothing he could do but ready himself for any scenario as they moved to meet up with Todd. Afterwards, he would be free to contact his father if that's what he felt was necessary. At least his father wouldn't succumb to this mental instability. He hoped. "All right, Damien, play nice," Grayson said as they arrived on the roof of a warehouse in Crime Alley. Damien looked around his surroundings in slight distaste, not at all surprised that this was the kind of place a street rat like Todd chose to spend his time. The man was a product of his surroundings. He'd been destined for a life in a gutter, after all. It wasn't surprising that that's exactly where Todd ended up. "I am perfectly capable of behaving myself," Damien declared, annoyed that Grayson was still questioning him. "The question is whether he can."
"He'll be fine," Dick said, though Damien wasn't particularly reassured. He subtly checked his weapons, making sure they were ready.
"I'm gonna go give him a heads up," Tim said, quickly moving to the edge of the roof. Damien was even more wary. "He needs a warning? Is he that unstable?"
"It's not him that needs the warning, little D," Grayson replied. "Come on, I'll show you."
Damien followed Dick through an upper warehouse window, and then immediately froze on a rafter. Inside, the warehouse was loud and crawling with children. There must have been at least 30. They were all over the place, playing various games and eating and making all sorts of racket. It hadn't been what Damien expected at all. "Todd is raising an army of miniature soldiers?" He frowned at Grayson accusingly. "What is the meaning of this? Should we expect an incursion?" Grayson snorted and Damien bristled.
"It's not an army, Damien. They're just kids."
"I am young," Damien pointed out. "I am also lethal."
"Well, these guys aren't. I don't think so, anyway."
"Then what is the purpose of gathering them here?"
"They're homeless kids, Damien. They had nowhere to go, so Jason took them in. Helps them get food and keeps them safe and warm."
Grayson spoke, and Damien could hear the pride and approval in his voice. The same approval Damien heard whenever Damien managed to do something human and compassionate.
"Jason was a homeless kid too, so this stuff really bothers him."
"How
How did this come about? Bruce's tendency to pick up strays rubs off on people. Like how you picked up your cat and bat cow. Damien didn't see the comparison. They are innocent animals, not an army of small ruffians. Grayson was amused. Same general idea. Anyway, Tim is working with Jason to open an orphanage and get them all off the street. For now, they're safe here. Damien had more questions, but Todd suddenly called from the floor of the warehouse. Are you guys coming down or not? You're being total creeps. Shh, no manners, Damien scoffed. Grayson laughed. Yeah, that's Jason. And then he was bounding towards the warehouse floor, causing several children to perk up at his arrival. Damien followed a little more warily. Hello, everyone, Grayson greeted cheerfully. I brought someone else for you guys to meet. This is Robin, our youngest brother. Damien stood tensely as the army of children studied him curiously. So you work with Batman? One asked. Yes, Damien replied shortly. Do you kill people? Another asked. I can, but I don't. Why not? Batman doesn't approve. Well, that's lame, another said. Damien shook his head. They were definitely Todd's. I respect him, so I follow his rules, Damien replied. Grayson hedged, and Damien shot him a glare. Only some of his rules. Robin kind of picks and chooses. Well, some of them are stupid, Damien retorted. Several of the children nodded in understanding, and Damien found himself warming to them. Slightly. Can you stand on one hand like Nightwing? A voice came from his left, and Damien turned and jolted in slight surprise, because the voice had come from a small, red-headed child who was currently clinging to Todd's shoulders like a baby koala. And Todd was just standing there, as if nothing was amiss, like a tiny red-headed child using him as a tree was a normal, everyday occurrence. Of course I can, Damien retorted, offended. I am the best, Robin. Oh, please, Todd grumbled under his breath. Damien glared at him, but was kept from replying when the tiny child asked, Can you flip off of there like Nightwing? She asked, pointing to the lowest rafter. Of course I can, he declared again. I can do anything they can do, and I can do it better. Todd scoffed, but it was Drake who prodded. Even a quadruple somersault? Because the fool just had to go and pick the one thing only a Grayson could do. Shut up, Red Robin, or else I'll slit your throat while you sleep, Damien snarled at him. Drake looked entirely too pleased with himself. The tiny child broke in again. I'm 6. How old are you? 11. Who lets an 11-year-old fight crime? An older kid asked incredulously. An irresponsible adult bat with major paranoia issues, Todd broke in dryly, and Damien gave him a hard look. His father was many things, but he was not irresponsible. The small child pulled herself up higher and twisted around Todd's shoulders, so her face was directly in front of his red helmet. Todd, again, behaved as if this was completely normal. What's paranoia? When you think everyone is out to get you, he replied easily. Oh, so you have paranoia issues too? Drake and Grayson snorted in amusement, but Todd just declared, Hey, I earned my paranoia issues, Carrot Top. She patted his helmet and hummed, and faced no retribution from Todd for the patronizing actions. She then pointed over to the other side of the warehouse. Take me to the food, Hood! To his surprise, Todd merely sighed before following the child's orders. Damien thought about the slave he'd been and the many, many times he'd defied any and all orders given to him by Damien's grandfather, despite the numerous painful punishments. Yet here he was doing the bidding of a 6-year-old child while offering very little resistance. I wonder if my grandfather would have had better luck if he'd gotten a small child to give Hood his orders instead, he mused thoughtfully. Although, I'm not sure how well he would have taken to being bested by a child. Grayson burst into surprised laughter, and Drake immediately began snickering. Oh, man, Drake croaked. Can you imagine Ra's face? Drake countered. Can you imagine bees? They both doubled over in laughter, and Damien considered their words. His father had tried long and hard to get Jason to cooperate and follow orders, and Jason had responded with explosions and gunfire. He imagined the look of consternation on his father's face as he witnessed this minuscule child order the same man around effortlessly. The thought was indeed amusing. I want to see it, Damien declared to his brothers. Oh, definitely, Drake agreed. We're gonna make that happen, I swear. Best thing ever. And Alfred needs to see it too, Grayson added, before straightening up and turning towards the child army. Okay, who's ready for gymnastics camp? There were many excited responses, and suddenly they were being surrounded by the children. Damien moved to retreat, but Grayson grabbed his shoulder. I'm gonna need your help, Robin. You're still small, so you can help me demonstrate moves better. Think you can handle it? Damien scoffed. Of course I can. Grayson grinned at him. All right, let's start with a handspring demonstration. Careful, Nightwing, Drake declared. Dr. Tompkins will skin you if we drag her out of bed to fix any broken bones. It'll be fine, Grayson assured. Now, Robin, why don't you demonstrate? Dick's impromptu gymnastics lessons occupied most of the kids, including Lisa. So Jason and Tim retreated to the rafters to watch from a safe distance. Jason pulled his helmet off and set it next to him. It offered protection, and he had infrared and many other handy things. But it did limit his peripheral vision a bit, and there was no need for it at the moment. Plus, he always wore a domino underneath it anyway. So whose idea was it to bring Bat Brat? Jason asked once they were settled. Definitely Dick's, Tim replied immediately, and without looking up from his phone. He was always on his phone, it seemed. Tim was a multitasker of epic proportions, and a workaholic to rival even Bruce. Jason worried about the amount of sleep he got, between classes, WE, patrol, and cases. Whoever thought it was a good idea to introduce the kid to caffeine needed to be held accountable for the horror they'd unleashed upon the world. Hey, you know a drug runner named Joey Long? He used to work at a crime alley, Tim asked, not looking up from his phone. Yeah, I kicked him out, Jason retorted. He ran most of the heroin through the alley. Took up somewhere in Tri-Corner, right? I'm kind of surprised you let him live, Tim said, giving him a sidelong look. He's just your type. Jason shrugged. He gave me some information I needed, so I thought it was only fair. I did promise to chop him up into little pieces if he ever stepped foot back in Crime Alley again. Right. Well, now he's running the heroin in Tri-Corner. Guess I should have just killed him, Jason remarked. Tim glared. No, you should have turned him over to the police. Jason rolled his eyes. Yeah, whatever. What do you need to know about him? I'm trying to find out where his shipments come in, he admitted. It must have gotten back to him that I'm after him, though, because he's gone to ground. I can't find him or his shipments, but I think he's getting cheap with his product, started cutting it with more dangerous stuff. There have been some hospitalizations. Jason scowled. Definitely should have killed him. No killing, Tim replied firmly. Jason scowled, because this no-killing thing was already grating on him with Max Kennedy. Yeah, because our system works so well. Would have been back on the streets in a heartbeat. Not the point, Jay. You don't get to decide who lives and dies. None of us do. Well, maybe we should. We shouldn't, Tim retorted firmly. But anyway, I was wondering if you remembered anything about him that might help me find him. As a matter of fact, I do know someone who can help you, Jason declared. Let's wait until Dick and the demon spawn head off, then I'll introduce you, he decided. After all, Long was now Tim's problem because of the way Jason had dealt with him. It was only fair that he help clean up the mess. Oh, Tim said, seeming surprised but also pleased. Yeah, great. Then he went back to sifting through research on his phone. Jason grabbed his phone, scrolling through his own files he'd gotten through Roy as an idea slowly started forming in his brain. Just because he was now following the no-kill rule didn't mean he had to follow all the rules. Who said he had to do things legally anyway? Who said he couldn't cheat? What did it matter if the right man went to prison? So what if Kennedy melted down the murder weapon? Jason could just forge one. He quickly texted Roy. Jason, how do you feel about forging a murder weapon? Roy's reply was immediate. Roy, I feel awesome about forging a murder weapon. What kind of murder weapon am I forging? Jason, knife. I'll send you the coroner's report. This is time sensitive. I need it pronto. Roy, you got it, Jaybird. One murder weapon. Coming up. Give me 24 hours. Jason grinned widely. There was his smoking gun. He'd plant the knife on Kennedy, some drugs and dirty money too, and lead the police straight to him. Then he'd convince Maroney to cut him loose and keep his paws off Crime Alley. And, if he played his cards right, him not killing Kennedy might not be an issue. Then it'd be case closed with minimum fuss. Following the rules was for chumps. What's that look on your face? I don't like it, Tim said, looking at him warily. Nothing to concern yourself with, little bird, Jason declared, pocketing his phone. No one is dying, right? Of course not. I'm on the straight and narrow now, Timbo. Yeah, that's comforting, Dick declared as he pulled himself up onto the rafter beside Jason. The gymnastic lesson was apparently over, but Dick had left Damien in the middle of the crowd of children. He was apparently telling them about an encounter he'd had with Killer Croc, which just reminded Jason that the kid was here in the first place. Jason glared at Dick. What gives, Grayson? You brought Demon Spawn to my warehouse? He needs socialization with kids his own age. He doesn't get along with the kids at school. Besides, he found out about you, Dick replied. I brought him here to convince him he doesn't need to call Bruce and tell him you're back in Gotham. Jason scowled immediately. Nosy brat. Be fair. The last time you were in Gotham, you kind of started a gang war, killed off multiple crime bosses, and became the most powerful crime lord in Gotham. And everyone was better off for it, Jason shrugged. Dick frowned. Except for the people who were dead. I'm not having this argument again tonight, Jason declared. We can all agree to disagree on the killing thing, and you both can rest your pretty little heads easy with the knowledge that I'm not currently killing anyone. Super deal, remember? Yeah, but what happens when you change your mind? Dick frowned. The only one who would change my mind is currently in Arkham. If, by some bloody miracle, they actually manage to keep him there, we won't have a problem. The second he gets out, though, all bets are off. Dick frowned harder. Yeah, that doesn't exactly make me rest easy, Jay. Jason turned a glare on him, immediately furious. Yeah, so imagine how I feel, Dick, he hissed fiercely. You're uneasy at the possibility that I'll kill him if he gets out, because him getting out is basically inevitable, right? How about being uneasy about all the people who will end up dead when he does get out again? Or being uneasy about the fact that he's just as likely to come after me as I am to go after him, huh? His business with me is unfinished because I didn't fucking stay dead. So, yeah, Dick, if he gets out, I'll be gunning for him. Better me getting him first before he decides to go after me. I am not letting that clown kill me again. Dick was frowning, and Tim had gone still by the time Jason finished his angry tirade. I didn't realize the obsession was mutual, Dick finally said. Jason scoffed and rolled his eyes. Yeah, well, you don't know him like I do. Trust me, I'm second only to Daddy Bats in his books. And even more of a target because of what I was supposed to mean to Batman. What you do mean to Batman, Dick countered. What you always meant. Fuck off, Dick, Jason snarled, because that was not a conversation he felt like having with Bruce's golden child who could do no wrong. He's right, Tim broke in. You weren't there for the fallout, Jason. You didn't see him spiral out of control. He changed when you died, Jay, Dick continued. And it wasn't for the better. You're right, Jason retorted. Changing for the better would have been making sure the Joker could never do that to anyone again. Not slapping him on the wrist and sending two more kids out to be put in the same fucking position. He snarled quietly, not wanting the kids below to hear them. Jason, no, Dick, he snapped. You don't fucking get it. None of you have ever gotten it. You don't fucking understand. You don't fucking get the Joker. He will do this over and over and over again. He's obsessed with Batman. Every fucking thing he does to play with Batman. The Joker killed me because of what Robin is to Batman. And what the fuck did Bruce do? He stuck another kid in the suit to be a fucking brightly colored target, and he did it without even making sure the Joker could never do it again. Don't you get it? If Bruce was going to take on another Robin, he needed to make sure it could never happen again. But he fucking didn't. My death meant nothing if he's just going to let the same thing happen to one of you. And it fucking will, Dick. It fucking will. Right now, I'm a whim away from being target number one in the Joker's mind. Just a damn whim is all it would take. If the Joker ever manages to kill me and I stay dead, his target's not gonna switch to Batman. It's gonna be one of you until every one of us is gone, dead at his hands. Bruce hasn't done anything about it, but I fucking will. Someone has to keep us safe. They were silent for a moment, the only sound being the kids chattering excitedly down below. Unsurprisingly, Dick was the one to break the silence. You're right, Jay. I didn't get it, but I do now. But I still don't think you killing him is the answer. Dick, Jason protested immediately, because how could Dick get it and still not get it? But Tim cut him off. No, he's right. I get it too, Jason. I understand. But we still can't cross that line. I've already crossed that line, Tim, a whole hell of a lot. What does one more time matter? Jason challenged. You did it under the influence of the pit. This one would be all you. And he's not worth turning yourself into a murderer, Tim said firmly. Jason made a frustrated noise, but Tim kept going. I get where you're coming from. I get why you feel like it has to be this way, but it doesn't. You are seeing it as a you against him deal. But it isn't just you. You're not on your own, and you're not facing him on your own. You have us behind you. We'll keep him in Arkham, Jay. And if he does get out, then all of us will hunt him down like a dog and put him back in. Every time. When you died, it was just you and Bruce. But now it's you, me, Dick, Damien, Bruce, Barbara, Cass, and Stephanie. All of us against him. He doesn't stand a chance, Jay. It is never going to be just you against him again. We won't let that happen. Jason squeezed his eyes shut tightly. He's too dangerous, Tim. Not for all of us, Dick replied. Tim's right. We're smarter and stronger than him. We can handle him. Jason wanted to argue, but his outburst left him feeling absolutely drained. He didn't want to talk about the Joker. He didn't want to talk about what happened and how he felt about it. He was not emotionally sound enough for this shit. He just shook his head and sighed. I wish you were right, but you're wrong. You're so wrong. We're not. Trust us, Dick said, squeezing Jason's shoulder. Jason shook his head, but didn't argue anymore. And they sat in silence for a few moments until Tim asked curiously, Can I ask a question? Shoot. How on earth did you get from what you just said to deciding to kill me? It startled a laugh out of Jason, and beside him, Dick snorted. Fuck if I know, he admitted. I think it was a sort of he didn't learn his lesson the first time, so now I'm gonna make him type of deal. What, seriously? Tim stiffened, looking offended. That was your reasoning for trying to kill me. What do you want me to say? Jason protested. I was batshit insane, Timbo. Still, he protested. It wasn't personal against you, Jason replied. Shouldn't that make you feel better? No, if someone's gonna kill me, I'd rather them have a legitimate reason to want me dead, Tim retorted. Jason felt like maybe that was fair. Yeah, well, what do you want me to do about it now? Look, I promise, the next time I try to kill you, it'll be personal. Thank you, Tim replied, mollified. You need help, Jason retorted. Dick grinned, amused. And then Damien was there. Failure, he greeted loftily, addressing Jason. Hey, Jason protested, hand twitching towards his gun automatically. Damien continued. The children are acceptable. I have decided to train them. Train them? Jason questioned, his indignation being swiftly replaced by amusement. He thinks you're building a child army, Dick replied with a grin. So the natural response is to help train the child army, Jason remarked, bewildered. Assassin, Tim reminded him. Ah, yes, how could I forget? You get along okay with everyone? Dim asked Damien. They are acceptable, Damien repeated. I will return. Jason rolled his eyes. Yeah, sure, Bat Brat. Just invite yourself right on over. I just did, Damien replied, scowling at him a little. Jason heaved a sigh and stood up, putting his helmet back on. All right, Baby Bird and I have places to be. You two scram. And for the love of Wonder Woman, someone please make Alfred stop buying me shit. It's getting out of hand. Yeah, good luck with that, Dick declared, standing as well. Come on, Robin, patrol time, he said, moving to the window. Damien lit up in some sort of unholy glee, and Jason repressed a shudder. That kid is seriously disturbed, he remarked to Tim, as they moved out of the window and took off across the rooftops of Crime Alley, heading in the opposite direction of Dick and the demon spawn. Tim snorted. You have no idea. Jason suspected Tim was right, but he had the awful feeling that he'd have a much better idea very soon. Now that Dick had brought the Bat Brat into his life, Jason worried he'd have just as difficult a time getting rid of him. How the hell did this happen? He muttered to himself, forlorn. Tim grinned beside him.